Christianity makes people stupid and lazy. Those were the first words that came out of the mouth of a famous atheist as we began to debate the importance of Christianity in America several years ago. We've been invited together to New York and to have, there are five of us on the panel. And I was wondering what he would say when he started out, and those were his first words. And I have to say, I wasn't ready for that. And I'll tell you why. I thought, well, he will have some intellectual argument against the theories of creation and the theories of the virgin birth. But what he did is he went right for the jugular. And he opened up a wound that I think a lot of us have as followers of Jesus. We struggle between whether or not we should be ambitious and go for it, or if we should be content. And his objection, I think, are ones we have to respond to. Does loving God make you lazy? In other words, what he meant by that is we're just trusting God. God's going to take care of it. And that is true, right? But does it make us passive in the relationship? That's one of the things I hope that if you haven't already discovered in this series, Polyester Jesus, you know, there is a fake, phony, religious Jesus. There's a polyester Jesus. You know, polyester, they make everything out of polyester. Suits, leisure suits, gas cans, tires. I mean, polyester is kind of that ubiquitous kind of thing. And there's kind of this Jesus, this kind of insipid and weak, blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus. Nice Jesus. Doesn't look anything like the New Testament Jesus. But the real Jesus is the one who said this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In other words, it's okay to have ambition. It's okay to get up every day ready to go to war, as long as you understand that it's not just going after more of more, right? More of the same old thing that doesn't satisfy. More than just keeping the scorecard. More than just outrunning your brother. More than just having more toys at the end of life than someone else. It's the hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's a big word, isn't it? When I hear the word righteousness, though I know better, my mind goes to self-righteousness, right? Those who think they're better than me because their religious orthodoxy or other attributes are better than mine. Righteousness simply means the rightness of a thing. It is right, a thing that is right, that is true. We are seekers of truth, right? We're not seekers of religion, we're seekers of truth, and truth has led us to Christ. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, that sentence is constructed such that it's got an is, it's got a being verb, so you can just switch and say great gain is godliness with contentment. So great gain is a good thing. Great gain, hunger and thirst. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Well, I'm not content with that. Are you? I want food and clothing and people to think I'm God. Right? Thank you, Dave. It's the first time I've heard Dave laugh in 5 years. Praise Jesus. I finally just... I'm just kidding. Please, Dave, I was just kidding. Just kidding. I mean, have we not learned this week that there is no coach without sin? There is no institution that is perfect. There is. When we talk about honor and pride, we need to be a little careful. All of us live in a world where whatever we throne will be dethroned by its imperfections. Whatever we think we can't live without, once we get it, it loses its value. I mean, think about the car you drive today that you just had to have. And now you don't even park it. You don't even park it straight. At least when you first got it, you parked it a ways away. Right? Remember those days? Now you just pull in and park it. It's got old French fries and green stuff that's been there forever. Right? Whatever we throne is ultimately dethroned by its imperfections. How about this one? This is out of Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine. Wine's not in the Baptist version of this, for those who are here. The wine without money. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. When I read the last part of the theme, here's a person at a banquet, and man, they've got all this luscious food, and man, it's all satisfying. It doesn't give you heartburn or diarrhea, right? Anything you worship, it will ultimately be dethroned. It's just more of more. Polyester Jesus is this Jesus over here that says, you really, the way to contentment is to not want anything. Not want anything, not want to be anything, not want to do anything, not want to achieve anything. That's polyester Jesus. If we were worshiping polyester Jesus, we would say that your ambitions are bad. Your wants should be muted and diminished. But real Jesus says, hunger, come on, baby, hunger and thirst. You want great gain? I got great gain for you. You want to be a champion? You want to be a winner? Just put the right person on the throne. That's all you got to do. Don't put a pastor on the throne. Don't put your mother on the throne. Don't put your spouse on the throne. Put God on the throne of your life. Worship him and him alone. Elevate him in your life. And he gives contentment plus a brain. How's that? More of more. How many of you know that just more of the same old thing isn't going to get it done? Doesn't make you happy. More of more brings, first of all, fatigue. Proverbs 23, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. How many of you know people, they have no off button? Aren't you glad we have iPhones and iPads and Blackberries and Android phones so we can lay in bed and find out what's going on in the world? I mean, get the picture. We're laying in bed after a long, stressful day, checking on what the stock market futures are in Japan, obsessing and worrying about things over which we have absolutely no control. What was it, Monday, Tuesday, that the stock market went down 340 points over somebody who burped in Italy? Most of us don't even know where it is. Couldn't play it if we had one. Ecclesiastes 5 says this, the more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. Have you ever been in a place where you never really know who your friends were because you didn't know whether they were your friends or there because, you know, you just were footing the bill for the party? More and more brings not only fatigue, it brings anxiety. We weren't created and made to live on a steady diet of just being stirred up on the inside. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much. But the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. For those of us who consider ourselves not rich, that's at least some consolation, isn't it? I mean, rich people have got it made, right? They got stuff. They don't only got stuff, they got garages for their stuff. They got stuff where they put their stuff. And they just get more stuff. Right? Have you ever seen people when they're walking down the road or the aisle of a store or the mall and they're, I mean, their clothes fit perfectly. They look just fit. Their hair is just right. And you want to say, they're not happy. They're not happy. They're miserable. And you would like to be miserable like they are, right? They seldom ever get a... Why do they get... Because they're always worrying about all their stuff. Listen, I'm not bragging, but I just wanted to say this as my confession. I have never, ever worried about somebody running over my yacht as I pull it to Center Hill Lake. Not 1 minute. I'm seriously. I don't worry about people breaking into my condo in Orlando. I don't worry about the price of gold going below $1,300. You know why? They don't have any of those things. Oh, wouldn't we love to be that miserable? Right? VH1, where are they now? Wouldn't we love to have a life that is like a living hell just for the fun of feeling what it's like? More of more. Jesus offers contentment, not more anxiety, more fatigue. How about this? More of more, just going after more, brings not only that, but it brings dissatisfaction. Ecclesiastes 6, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. The single emotion of the American male and female who has everything that the advantages of wealth, education, and culture can offer is this: disappointment. If you don't believe that's true, just look at people this afternoon out eating, people waiting on them, eating in restaurants, eating sumptuous meals, and they look like they're so depressed they have to wake up to die. Thank you. First service didn't like that at all, but thank you for bringing it back. Chasing the wind. Have you ever been out, a wind whips up and leaves go around, you're trying to grab a leaf or grab something? What a picture. Jesus offers contentment, real contentment, not just a lack of desire. Buddhism says that the ultimate condition of man is nirvana, the lack of desire. The most famous Buddhist in America, at least the one most famous one I know in America, Steve Jobs, who just died, is antithetical to that. Just read his biography. He was anything but passionate and driven and drove everyone around him to drink, drive, or death almost. So that's the dilemma we have as followers of Jesus. Polyester Jesus says, don't want anything, or you want too much. Real Jesus says, you can lay your ear back and go after it with all of your heart and all of your passion. Doesn't Jesus say in response to a question, what is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Can you just imagine Jesus saying, well, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, but other than that, you're supposed to be all right. Okay, so wait a minute. Yeah, it's me. I mean, nice, sweet, wouldn't hurt a flea, polyester Jesus. Couldn't have said that with any excitement. But I believe the real Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul. That's why he stirred people up. That's why he was a renegade, not some nice, sweet, little, insipid Pee-wee Herman with a robe. Real Jesus gives real contentment for the emptiness of the soul of the human being. What is real contentment? I can tell you the first step to contentment and absolutely know I'm right and everyone else is wrong. You want to hear it? When you hear it, you'll agree with me. If you want to be content, the first step is to stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, you know, yeah, go ahead. You know why I know that's true? Because I no longer compare myself to other people. And I will lie about other things, if you believe that. I'm comparing myself to people all the time. I know it's the first step to losing my joy, to losing contentment, to losing the real presence of Jesus, is to look at Jesus with all he's done for me, all he has given me, all he has lavished in me, and slap and spit him in the face and say, that's not enough. I want what Bubba has. Proverbs 14 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I mean, don't we all, come on, let's just confess. We all know people who are uglier than us and stupider than us, doing better than us. What's wrong with God? All right? The Bible says that God helps those who help themselves, right? Come on. No, actually, it doesn't say that. A heart at peace gives life to the body. Jesus told a story about comparison in Mark 20. You can read it later, but it's basically this. A landowner goes out and hires some guys to work in his field. You've been around probably agrarian places like this, where, you know, people will gather and they'll be hired out for the day. And so he goes out. The Bible says early in the morning, I guess we would say the crack of dawn. And he finds a group of guys who says, okay, here, you're working my farm today. I give you $20 for the day. They're all thrilled because if you really look at the context of this story and where Jesus was, this was not only a fair day's wage, it was a premium day's wage. So they were thrilled to get it. That means their family eats. So they go and work in the field. 2 hours later, he goes gets another group for the same deal. At noon, he gets another group for the same deal. At three, he gets another group for the same deal. At five, he gets another group for the same deal. So we all know, here's the group at the early part. Here's the group at five. Think about it. The day ends and the owner is going to settle up for the day's wage. And the guys at five come by first. Guess what they get paid? $20. The guys at three, $20. The guys at 12, $20. The second crew, $20. The guys who early in the morning who agreed to work for $20, they got. And those guys who were thrilled to death with $20 just a few hours before were mad as you know what by the end of the day. They had lost their $20. I mean, they still had it, but it was looking. They looked at it like, $20. $20, spit on $20. Early in the morning, they were, oh, $20, $20, please, God, please, if you just give me $20, I'll never ask for another thing, please, just $20. It's funny looking, isn't it? Of course, none of us. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't relate to real life? None of us would ever do anything like that. None of us would beg God for something, and then when we get it, go, what? This is all I get? Really? Every day above dirt is a good day. Amen? By the way, let me stop and say something. Somebody sent me a song a couple months ago based on that little saying. They took a song, they took it, my little thing, Every Day Above Dirt's a Good Day, and wrote a song. If I say anything that inspires a song, it's yours. Amen? It's yours. Seriously, it's yours. Now, if you write a song, I'd love to hear it, but other than that, it's yours. Okay, now back to the regular scheduled program. Stop comparing. Henry Nouwen, the great Catholic theologian, said this: when my sense of self depends on what others say of me, anger and is a quite natural reaction to a critical word. And when my sense of self depends on what I can acquire, greed flares up when my desires are frustrated. Thus, greed and anger are the brother and sister of a false self fabricated by the social compulsions of an unredeemed world. Now it's just simply saying this, that those of us who follow Christ live by a different standard. We have a different person on the throne. Stop comparing. God is not fair. Quit saying that. Well, God isn't fair. Okay, give me some new news. When you use the word fair, go, Tennessee fair, Kentucky fair, I'm going to the Alabama fair, going to the state, just don't use God in that sentence. You don't want fair. Promise me, you don't want fair. I know, but I ain't worried about that Jesus stuff. I'm just going to take what I deserve. Ducker, really? Seriously? Not me. No. Don't want what I deserve. Stop, secondly, disappearing. There are literally millions of Christians in this country. Listen, we just celebrated Veterans Day, okay? I heard all the thanks people, you know, thanks for all you do. Thanks for, you know, come home soon. I don't know, some of the things to the sacrifice. Our military men and women sacrifice. Are you with me? They sacrifice. Sometimes the ultimate sacrifice. It deserves a little bit more than, y'all come home safe, y'all come on home. You know, I don't know. That's just me being me, I guess, isn't it? Sometimes we need to, those of you who are holed up in your homes and apartments because you're mad at the world, you don't want to come and worship God because you feel like you have nothing to be grateful for. You feel like you've been given the green weenie more than once. You're mad and hacked up. What do you do? Seriously, what do you do when you're mad and hacked off? You just disappear. I just couldn't go to church. When my mother died, you know what I do? I wanted to go to church. Now, I'm not saying that has, trust me, I'm not saying that's how everyone ought to respond. But my point is this, you know, when bad things happen, why is there an automatic response to go hide up somewhere? You know what happens if you stay at home, sitting on the couch, eating ho-hos, you get fatter and madder. Then you get madder that you got fatter, and then you got fatter and madder that you got fatter. Hello? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Have we not learned this week with the open scandal of Penn State? If Penn State can't get it right, what do you think is going to happen to the rest of us? Do not fret because of evildoers. God will take care of those people. Don't worry about your brother. Don't worry about your nemesis. All of us have a nemesis. All of us have. The only people who don't have a nemesis is dead. And they still wish they had one. You know, have you ever been, is there anyone in your life when you walk into the room, you become a third grader again? You know, they have this power over you. Don't fret because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut like the grass and wither like the green myrrh. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Get up, suit up, show up, and do the next right thing. Now, you write a song off of that one, I want cash. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways into him. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. That doesn't sound like a lazy God to me. Trust him. Commit. Do. Get up every day. Move forward. But I'm content knowing that wherever I am, whatever I have is a gift from God. Yea, God, every day above dirt is a good day. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's good, Dave. I know. Keep going. Okay. You want to be content? Here's how to be content. Stop comparing. Stop disappearing. Stop fretting. I use the King James there because I just love that word, fret. Fret not thyself. Don't be a musician. That's what the Bible says, what it means in the Greek. I mean, in the Hebrew. No? Okay. I didn't think, I thought it was weak too. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. So don't worry about these things. Saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Now, here's a really a big challenge. If this is how we live as followers of Jesus, Jesus saying, you say you follow me, and yet you have the mindset of those who don't follow me. Which is it? Is it just polyester Jesus? This kind of cosmetic religious veneer that has no substance to it? Or is there something real about following Christ and worshiping God? We're here today. The fact that we can be here today and worship God is bought with a price by those who've died for our freedoms. I think everybody in America ought to go to church, if nothing else, is to say, thank you. I mean, you do understand there are hundreds of millions of people, billions of people on this planet who can't worship freely and openly. But we just stay home and whine and cry and moan, and we have the greatest country, the greatest privileges, and the greatest blessings in the world. I wonder if God is saying, what else do you people want? More. There's a little more. See, just like that. Now, you may ask the question, okay, Dave, how do I stop comparing? How do I stop disappearing back into my anger and disappointment? How do I stop worrying? I know I should stop it. How do I do it? I'm glad you asked. Start worshiping Almighty God. The center of the teaching of Scripture is a call to worship. Well, the truth of the matter is everyone worships. Our lives reflect what we worship. Football. Did you watch any of the football yesterday? These crazy idiots up in 20 degree weather with no shirts on, painted with their bodies painted blue. Don't worry, I will not be one of them. That is sin. Those guys are going to, well, they're probably living in hell right now. What would make you do that? Have you seen people who go to ball games, even the Titans games, and they dress up and say, boy, you have a better self-image than I do. I wouldn't be caught dead in that stuff. There are people, let's be honest, there are people who worship football. Seriously, I'm not an overstatement. They worship it. It's where they get their source of identity because their life is so hollow. If you worship football, your life sucks. I like football. I don't worship football. I'm a Harley guy. There are guys who worship Harley. I've been around people. Listen, I'm a poser. I have a Harley and I ride a Harley, but there are guys who, my brother was a biker. I mean, attach the whole thing, baby. It's a life. How many of you know that? They worship motorcycles. You say, that's silly. It may be. But listen, for lack of anything better, why not worship football? Why not worship bikes? Why not worship, why not? I mean, in America today, if a woman doesn't worship fashion, what is she worth? Didn't say it for effect. Why aren't more women today upset with how they're treated in print and in marketing? Why do we buy? Well, let me stop. Because I'll be going down a road I won't be able to get off of. And I ain't a woman, so if you ain't mad about it, I guess I shouldn't be either. But here's my... I'll finish this, ma'am. Thank you very much. We got more hecklers that, what has happened? Have you ever noticed in the last 3 months, maybe? Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth. Listen, all the earth, trees, nature, animals, humans, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with kind of a sanguine kind of modeling kind of misery. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord, he is the God. He is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people. The sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. Give him thanks. Praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Yea, God. Woo! I didn't just write that. That's been in the ancient scriptures for thousands and thousands of years. It was true then. It is true now. How do you stop worrying? How do you stop comparing? How do you stop being critical of yourself? How do you stop this insane descent into your own personal hell? Put God on the throne. Don't put a pastor on the throne. Don't put your brother on the throne. Don't put your mother on the throne. Put God on the throne. Don't put the economy on the throne. Put him on the throne. Worship him. Make it real and intimate and every day. Come on, folks. Let's either turn our churches into centers of worship, or let's just close the doors and go on to something better. What we worship, we reflect. If you're worried, you're not worshiping God. I don't care. You say, well, I'm just, don't, but nothing. Come on, let's be big boys and girls. Let's put on our big boy pants. Every moment you worry, you're worshiping something other than God. His love endures forever, right? What did it say? His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Whenever I compare, I'm not worshiping God. I'm worshiping something else. The image of something I ought to be, but that I'm never going to be. Hello? Real Jesus. The Jesus who's coming again one day to set all things right. The one who will not give up on this world and on you and on me is coming again to set all things right. Right. His justice will prevail. His grace will prevail. You can either get in on that or you can be the object of it. Jesus said it very simply. You are either for me or you're against me. Well, I kind of like Jesus. You know, I give him a 4 on a scale to 6. No. Jesus, remember last week? Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for followers. And if we're going to follow him and have the assurance that real Jesus gives and the contentment that he provides, then he has to be on the throne. We worship him. Amen? We follow him. We don't follow pastors. We don't follow leaders. We don't follow presidents. We don't follow football coaches. We don't follow anyone else. We don't follow good examples even. As good as they can be. We follow Jesus, our God, our Lord, our Savior. Our God who calls us to march forcefully and faithfully into the future with hope, faith and love garnished around our hearts to win the battle, to win the war, to achieve, to strive, to do. And yet everything, all every day and every struggle that we have, we are content on our insides knowing that our God has got our back. Yes or no? So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to disappear. I'm going to worship on the throne of my life the one whose love never fails. The one who can back up everything he's promised. Are you? Join me. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you will enter the hearts of these amazing men and women who I love so much. And I pray, Father, that you would empower us to be followers of Jesus, not fans. I pray for anyone today who hasn't said, Jesus Christ, you just say this prayer with me. Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Take over. Be my God, my Lord, and my King. I turn from my past. I give you my failures, my sin. I give you my shame. I give you the things I'm trying to hide and hope never come to light. And I ask you to cover me with your grace, that you'll change my heart. I will worship you alone. I will adore you alone. You'll be the first thought of every day. You'll be the last thought of every night. I will let you lead me and guide me. I will trust you when I cannot see you. I will listen to you when I cannot hear you. And I will not let the dissenting voices of the unbelievers around me rob my joy, rob my peace, or stir up my contentment that comes in you. I worship you. I love you. I adore you. I dare you to be God right now in my life. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go get them. Why do you turn